It has been a long time since we had a chance to interview our friend Beaver Chief. It has been a long, long time. We rectify that mistake today as we talk with one of the most amazing holy people I have ever known. Beaver Chief is a Native American man registered with the Lummi tribe in Northwest Washington, a spiritual leader who brings out the traditional teachings of the Northwest Coast Native American Salish people and who comes from a long line of Indian Shaker doctors. Those teachings come in the form of songs, stories, drumming, and dance. Many of the songs are now available on a compact disc entitled Red Cedar Medicine, Circle Songs by Beaver Chief. It's our pleasure to welcome him back to the program. Beaver Chief, thanks for coming down today.
Thank you, Paul. It's good to be here.
It's been a long time.
Yeah.
It has been a long time. I was looking back. You're not even in the new book. The last interview we did, I think, was about 2 years ago. Mm. Wow. You know, in the past interviews that we've done on the show, you've never talked about your parents on the program. You've talked a little bit about your lineage and your grandmother, but why don't you tell us about your parents, their parents, and your line of Indian Shaker doctors?
A lot of times we don't talk about our folks that are living because they're our closest, well, for me, it's my closest teachers. And we don't talk about our teachers until they're passed. And not a lot, but my mother is the eldest of the Jamesons from over in Lummi. And she was put inside the Shaker Church when she was very small to keep her safe from a lot of dark negative energies that were coming to our family. And she steadied that and watched her mother and great-grandfather do the Indian doctoring. She also knows that, but we don't call it steadying, you know, these things. You live this way. And if you asked my mother would never say that she steadied anything. She just lived away. And it's all inside of her action and her reaction to life and how she does things. And I don't talk about my father because it's our mother and our grandmother, the lineage side, that we hold very high here and that we bring out. We have to keep certain things sacred, secret, so to speak, but sacred away from the public because there's certain things that help us to be ourselves, where we can relax in a certain refuge of sanctuary. And if we tell everything, then people think that they know everything, and then they start telling us about ourselves. That happens a lot to me.
And then we have trouble, don't we?
Yes, very much so.
Yes, we do. Well, you know, we're not asking you to disclose anything sacred or any secrets, so you know that. And I suppose a radio program is not the most, although, you know, this one is leans on the sacred side, but we can understand it's going out to who knows. Who knows who's listening to this right now, so I can appreciate that. But I guess the point I wanted to bring out is that you have healers on both sides
of
your family. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, my grandmother comes from the Indian doctoring tradition. That's from, she moved down from West Saanich in Vancouver Island. And my great-great-grandfather from this side was Lucian Jameson from Lummi. And he was a very well-known, they called him a big Indian doctor. And that meant that he Indian doctored all over the place. And nobody's... this is strange to say, but it's the truth. It's the way the old people used to talk. Nobody's power was more bigger than his. And he could, they have stories about him holding a candle in the big wind storm, and the candlelight is blue, and it doesn't go out. And he does his healing doctoring songs. And one of the songs are on the CD. I was given permission by some of my old people to bring the song out. His name was Patius Isidore Tom. He was a big Indian doctor up in Lummi. Also, he gave me my great-grandfather's song. And then Joe Washington, my other uncle, he said, He don't know nothing. Here, I'll tell you the song. This is the way that it goes, because they always did that to one another.
And what song was that?
That was the Indian doctoring song that's on the, I believe it's on there.
I don't see it.
Oh, maybe it's a secret. Excuse me, it's not on there, huh?
Not one of 18. There's Grandfather's song on there. Is that the one it is?
No, that's another one. That one comes from a Hitluck. Hitluck was named Frank Hilaire in English, and that was from up in Vancouver Island, West Saanich also. And that's a song that it means in translation in English, I have come to help you, can't you see, can't you see? You know, and that's on there. So, excuse me, I guess it's not on there, the Indian Doctrine.
Well, on the sequel, I guess. We could put that on if it's not on one of you. Had mm-hmm. one or previous CD, didn't
yes.
you?
Yes.
Yeah. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the Salish people? By the time the settlers reached the Pacific Northwest, there was nowhere to run. It was either fight, swim, or decide not to fight. And that's pretty much what happened,
yes. if,
to a certain extent. I mean, we're here in Auburn, Washington, which was originally called Slaughter, named after a man who died in the quote-unquote Indian Wars of the mid-19th century. But for the most part, this notion of being here in the northwest corner of the country made the Salish people different from other native civilizations. Tell us about that.
I can tell you a little bit about what I know about that, and from my own perspective, is that we did not fight. We got swindled out of our land up here, and we didn't understand. And to this day, we still talk about what our forefathers said about the land. That how can you own the land? These are our visitors. They've come to visit us. If they choose to want this, then we will give that to them. We'll give them that choice. We'll help them to live their dream, because we couldn't understand how you could own the land and all these things. And today we still don't understand this, but it's become a truth, a reality. Everybody owns land and they've been destroying it. And now they're turning to us to look at us, and we're helping them. Again, we never learn, do we? We keep on helping people, even if they hurt us. We keep on turning around. I know I got away from this question a little bit about what you asked me.
But this is very important to talk about, because, it's decided, I guess, by the elders to say, no, we're going to go ahead and do this. And there's a lot of pain. I mean, I could see the pain in your face in just talking about this. And yet we realize that you can't own the earth. And when you do own land, what happens to it? Somebody lives downstream. They all have to deal with it. Mm-hmm. So it's this notion that is prevalent in the Western mind that, you're separate from your environment, or the mind is separate from the body. And it's a very machine-like, a very mechanistic approach to dealing with things that you know and that your elders know and have been taught for thousands of years is not the way things are. The way things are is that we're all connected. Mm-hmm. And so I think what you're talking about is very important. So.
Yes. Oh, thank you. Because I'm like that. I get away from things, and so I'd like to stay on this. It's real important to me right now that people take care of their land, that they've won it, and that they've received over the time from maybe their grandfathers or grandparents, but to take care of it, you know. It shouldn't have never been an issue about clean water and clean air here in politics and things like this. This is our right as human beings, and we're all connected, and it's very important. There's many, many sicknesses that are going to come from all the pollution in the air, from all the development and the progress they call progress. 70,000 people are coming to Seattle for a game. And then another 70,000 coming for another game, a baseball game, a basketball game, all these things. But nobody thought about traffic. They just thought about money. And I say to that, look what you've done. Look what you've done. All of your progress that you say that Native people are, we got to move them out because their old thoughts doesn't go along with our progress and economics. look what you're doing. Look at the economics that are doing. I mean, not all economics are bad, but look what's been happening. Nobody thinks completely, or maybe they do, and they like to put out a 10-year thought, and they have a process of all these things, and they know what's going to happen because they set it up like that to happen, like the wars. I don't want to go into the wars, but I do know about this, is that I've been studying and watching the people here for a long time, and I've watched our government here in Washington State look at things, and we've grown little by little. Now they're talking about a thing called a light rail. If they're going to talk about this light rail, I look at that and I say, why not make it all the way from Portland all the way up to Canada? Why stop in between and have it just for there? Because it's going to be needed, and there'll be all these things. Is that progress, or what's going on? I know there's a lot of people that'll argue about the pollution and all this, but look what's going on. 70,000 people driving 70,000 cars coming to what they call a sports event. You know, there's something wrong there, and all the old people in the houses suffer from emphysema and all of these sicknesses that we cannot even control.
We're talking with Beaver Chief. He's a spiritual leader who brings out the traditional teachings of the Northwest Coast Native American Salish people. He has a brand new CD out as well that is entitled Red Cedar Medicine, Circle Songs by Beaver Chief. I'm Paul Nelson. You say the teachings that you have come from the first world, and yet we now live in the fifth world. So why don't you tell us about these different eras and what it portends. You've already told us about some of the prophecies, but it doesn't take an Indian to know that with all the pollution, someone's going to get sick. but not to demean that, but you know what I'm saying. Tell us about the fifth world, the first world, and the fifth world.
Well, in the first world, I can share this with you. In the first world, everything spoke. Everything talked because we could hear each other. We were all in harmony with each other in the first world teaching, saying that the trees would talk to you and you would hear them like you're hearing me right now. And they would talk to you and tell you things. There would be the mountains and the rocks and the whales and the fish and the birds. They all spoke to you and you spoke to them, just like we're speaking now. In the first world, that's when the drum and the drumstick came together. They were going along talking, and they heard this sound of a cry, and it was crying over by the tree and crying over by the mountains, crying over by the ocean, crying everywhere. And the drumstick said to the drum, let's go and see if we can help. And the drum said, I really don't want to get involved with this. But the drumstick said, come on, let's go over there and see if we can help. So they went over, and the drum, that's when the drum and the drumstick came together, and that's when the sacred cry, the first song, came out. And it's the same words for cry and the word for song is the same in our language, and it came out, and that was a creation story of this. This was passed down from generation to generation, and this is what I understand about the first world. The first world was a very powerful place. Some people like to share a lot and tell me about, I've been looking at this time about the Hindu and Lord Shiva and Ganesh and all of the different deities and Ataras and everybody. And I was thinking about that. And I was thinking about their first world teachings from over in India. And I was thinking, I wondered if that was really their first world teaching, or it was before that, their first world teaching. And then that was another world where Lord Ganesh was doing, where the Bhagavad Gita comes in. That's the Bible of the Hindu. I don't want nobody to get upset with me, but that's how I know it. That's the Bible of that. And I appreciate that. I appreciate all religions in this time because they tell us a great story. A beautiful story, but we have to look and feel it ourselves when we're reading it or listening to it. We have to really feel it ourselves, because what is these words really doing their best to generate with this feeling that it wants you to know? Because the story may be a little bit different, but the feeling is the same. If you can feel the word of the person that's telling you this story or reading it out of a book, it's very important to remember the feeling, because the word is just a story and it sets up the feeling to come through. It transmits to the mind, and then that way the mind gets out of the way of the heart, and then the heart can feel it once again. And sometimes we say, well, that story is kind of strange, but I can feel something. Something is good about this.